us pray. Father, we bless your name tonight. We give you praise, we give you glory, and we give you adoration. King of glory, we want to hear from you. We pray that you talk to us tonight from your throne of grace. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Son. And thank you, Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, I've been to many churches here in the States, and I must say that I was really moved by the atmosphere of worship. And when I was coming in, you know, I had a message prepared, you know, to share with you. But when I came in, you know, I was a worship leader in church, in the church. I remember I'll just say this for just 1 minute, and Dr. Arnold came to me and said, "Solomon, what do you want to become in future?" I told him, "I want to study law." And he told me, "Solomon," he said, "God is calling you in the ministry. You'll ask him when you go to church." When I saw, you know, our brother leading worship, and that was what I was doing in church. I love singing. And so I was really moved by, you know, the way I like people coming to church and, you know, they forget about the problems, they forget about the headaches, and just worship God, because the Bible says in the presence of God, it says there is fullness of joy. Amen? So tonight, I want to speak to you tonight on something I had not prepared, but it is something dear to my heart, and I want us to consider the epistle of Philippians, Philippians chapter 4. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 4. Now, of course, we all know that the epistle of Philippians was written by the Apostle Paul. Now, a few things I want to say, a little bit of background about this church from several studies I've been doing. If you go through in the book of Acts of the Apostles, Acts chapter 16, you'll come to realize that the Bible makes us to understand that there was a young girl who used the means of fortune telling by bringing money to her parents. And the Bible says one day Paul and Silas entered Philippi. When this young damsel saw them, you know, Paul actually realized that something was in this girl. "These are the men who have come to turn this city upside down. They proclaim the name of God." The Bible says she kept doing this, and Paul commanded that spirit to depart from her. The Bible says immediately it happened. You know, Paul and Silas were arrested, and the Bible makes us to understand that they were put in the innermost part of the prison. But in Acts chapter 16, you know, verse 16, the Bible says, "But at midnight," the Bible says, "Paul and Silas were singing songs of praise unto God." It says, "And there was a great earthquake." It says, "So that the foundation of the prison was shaken." It says, "Their chains were fell off their feet, and the doors were open." Now, there was a Philippian jailer who had wanted to kill himself because he thought that Paul and Silas had escaped from prison. Now, Paul said to him, "Don't harm yourself, we're here." So I came to understand that this Philippian jailer was somebody that became so influential in this church in Philippi. Now, the Apostle Paul, amongst several things he wrote to this church, in Philippians 4, verse 4, the Apostle Paul said, "Rejoice in the Lord always." It says, "And again, I say, rejoice." So in essence, the Apostle Paul encouraged the church to rejoice. Even as we are considering this night, our subject for our message, the reasons for rejoicing. But somebody may be tempted to say, "Pastor, this is what I'm going through. Things are so difficult. Things are hard. Things are not working. I have so many health challenges. Why are you encouraging me to rejoice?" Briefly tonight, I want us to consider the five reasons Apostle Paul put forward to the church in Philippi as he encouraged them to rejoice. He said in Philippians 4, verse 4, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." Now, as we consider verse 6, we see the very first reason. He said, "Be careful for nothing." He says, "But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving," he says, "let your requests be made known unto God." So the very first reason why the Apostle Paul encouraged the church in Philippi to rejoice It is simply because they have a prayer that settles. Amen? That is what the word of God is saying to you and I this evening. No matter what we are going through, no matter the hard times, as Christians, whenever we come before the presence of God, in our homes, in everywhere that we find ourselves, God is encouraging us to rejoice simply because we have a prayer that settles. The Bible says, it says, for the weapons of our warfare, it says, they are not carnal. It says, but they are mighty through God. It says, through the pulling down of strongholds. And we have to understand that this weapon is prayer. Now, the reason why sometimes people don't rejoice in God, it is simply because they think that when they go before God in prayer, God does not answer. We have to understand that anytime we go before God in prayer, God answers our prayers. Sometimes he will say no, and that is an answer. Sometimes he will say yes. Of course, we know that's an answer. But sometimes God says wait. And the problem with Christians is that when God says wait, we do not want to wait for God. Everything that God does, he does it in his own time. The Apostle Paul said to the church, he says, be careful for nothing. He says, but in everything, he says, with thanksgiving, he says, let your requests be made known unto God. So rejoice in the Lord always as Christians. Why should you rejoice? We should rejoice because we have a prayer that settles. Amen. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. The Apostle Paul gave them the second reason, and we see that in verse 7. It says, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding, it says, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus our Lord. The Apostle Paul said you should rejoice because you have a prayer that settles, but also we must rejoice as Christians because we have a peace that sustains. The Apostle Paul says, and the peace of God, and not the peace of man. Before our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ left the face of the earth, he said, peace I give to you in John 14. He says, my peace I live with you. He says, not as the world give, do I give unto you. He says, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Amen? Sometimes I see Christians or people, when they are faced with hard times, they go into certain things. Some go into alcoholism simply because they want to look for peace. Let me tell you, this world will never give us peace. This world cannot give us peace. If you want to go into alcoholism because you want to find peace, in as much as you are going through hard times, whenever that alcohol leaves your face or leaves your system, the very first thing you think about is that same problem. So there is no peace in this world. There is only peace in Jesus Christ. Amen? Because he is our peace. The Apostle Paul says we must rejoice in God. We have a prayer that settles. We must rejoice in God. We have a peace that sustains. But see the third reason that he actually made the church to understand. And we see that in verse 11 and verse 12. It says, not that I speak in respect of want. It says, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. It says, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound in everywhere, in all things. I am instructed both to be full and both to be hungry, both to abound, and both to suffer need. He said, rejoice in God. The third reason he says, we must rejoice because we have a position that satisfies. Firstly, he said, we have a prayer that settles. Secondly, he said, we have a peace that sustains. But now, the Apostle Paul says, we have a position that satisfies. He says, not that I speak in respect of want. He says, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Now we have to understand as Christians, what is important is our spiritual position. Amen? Not our physical position. Because we have given our lives to Jesus, because we have trusted in him for salvation, we can go through hard times on the face of the earth, we can face difficulties, but we should say praise God simply because we have a spiritual position. And that position is in Jesus Christ. Amen? The Apostle Paul said, rejoice in God always. And again, I say rejoice, simply because you have a position that satisfies. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. The Apostle Paul advanced the fourth reason why he wants the church to rejoice. And that we see in verse 13. It says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. It says, you have a prayer that settles. You have a peace that sustains. You have a position that satisfies. But now, he said, you have a power that strengthens. You have a power that strengthens. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. We have to depend on God because he gives us strength. We have to depend on God because our strength comes from him. The psalmist says, he says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. Psalm 27, he says, from whence cometh my help? It is my help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. God is our strength. Amen. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. Rejoice in God. You have a prayer that settles. Rejoice in God. You have a peace that sustains. Rejoice in God. You have a position that satisfies. Rejoice in God. You have a power that strengthens. The Apostle Paul gave them the very last reason in Philippians 4 why they should rejoice as I bring this to a close. He said, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. And we see the very last reason in verse 18 and 19. It says, but I have received. He says, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which we are sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing unto God. Verse 19, it says, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. Rejoice in the Lord always, because you have a provider that supplies. You have a provider that supplies. Mind you, God did not say he will supply our wants, because there is difference between our wants and our needs. God says he will supply our needs. I know there are times it is difficult, but as I said, when I entered this place, I felt the presence of God because I saw, I heard believers singing. You know, when you come before God's presence, that you should have that fullness of joy in you. You've come before the King of Kings, you know. I say this to my church. Whenever I get to church, I forget about the problems because I have come to the author and finisher of my faith. I have come to the great God. I have come to Jehovah. I should not bring my problems before him and begin to cry over them. I have come before him. It is up to me to put my problems before him and rejoice in God. The Apostle Paul reminded the church in Philippi, and God's word is reminding us this evening, whatever we are going through, whatever we are experiencing in life, no matter the problem, no matter the hard times, rejoice in the Lord always. Never forget, you have a prayer that settles. You have a peace that sustains. You have a position that satisfies. You have a power that strengthens, and you have a provider that supplies. Shall we please bow our heads in prayer, please?